We had some that were up here seeking the Lord, and sometimes when we come to the point where we're going to have the benediction, we tell them that the altar is always open and that they can stay and pray as long as they want to pray. As far as I'm concerned, these mourners' benches that we have up here, they ought to always be open for that. I know today that we are here to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, but if you need to seek the Lord today and pray for the salvation of your soul, well, that's the most important thing in your life. And we want you to know that you can certainly do that. I want to read some scripture in Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 22. Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 22. And then after I read this, I want to direct your attention also to some scripture found in 1 Peter chapter 5. But Luke chapter 12, verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? I want you to remember that verse. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now listen closely to this next verse. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. And I want to stop my reading there with verse 32. Now let's look at just a few verses in 1 Peter chapter 5. Beginning with verse 6, and I just want to read a couple of verses. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And the title of my message today will be God Cares. God cares. If we go back to Luke chapter 12, we had verses in there considering God feeding the ravens, taking care of them, and the question, how much more are ye? And again, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, This is a conversation between Jesus and his disciples, and he's telling them this. And he says that, you know, if God feeds the ravens, how much more are you better than them? And then in verse 28, he talked about God. He had spoken about how that the lilies grow and how that if God clothes the grass, which today is standing in the field and tomorrow is burned, how much more is he going to clothe you? And again, the Lord speaking to his disciples. God cares for his children. God takes care of his children. And that's the thought that I want to speak to you about for a little while today. The Apostle Peter said, casting all your care upon him because of this fact, because of the fact that he cares for us. And so we have in the scriptures, as his people, we have the invitation from God to come to him and cast our cares upon him. Now, you know, we don't utilize that. We don't take advantage of that, I'm afraid, the way that we should. You know, oftentimes what we do is we keep our cares upon us. And oftentimes to the point where we allow them to depress us and to cause us to despair and to, you know, cause us all sorts of emotional trouble, when all the time God has said, bring them to me and cast them upon me because I care for you. And, you know, we can be certain that God can handle all of them. Amen. He can handle it when we cast our cares upon him. You know, you and I, we could overload one another, couldn't we? I mean, we could try to push our problems off on each other to the point that we would, you know, perhaps even overload one another. But God can take all of our cares upon him. In fact, that's what he did when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. He took the sin of the world upon him there and made the sacrifice. I've got some things I want to share with you, and I'll go through these scriptures. I've got some things I want to share with you that the scriptures tell us about God, a little bit about what he's like, a little bit about who that he actually is. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, that verse tells us that God sits upon the circle of the earth. I want you in these verses that I'm going to share with you here for a few moments, I want you to try, and I know that we can't really come close to really fully grasping this, but I want you to try to get an idea of God, about who God really is. He sits upon the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof, or in other words, the inhabitants of the earth, they are as grasshoppers. So God is so exalted that Isaiah describes it by saying he's sitting upon the circle of the earth, and when he looks down at earth, at the inhabitants of the earth, they just appear as grasshoppers before him. In Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, this verse tells us that God is the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. In Isaiah chapter 55, in verses 8 and 9, God's thoughts, they're not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. In verse 9, we see Isaiah speaking about the provision that God makes for us. Verse 9 of Isaiah 55 tells us that the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and that they water the earth and they make things grow. They make things to bring forth and bud. And the reason for it is that it might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You know, God, when God created the earth and when he created all things therein, he made ways for the earth. I mean, we can't even begin to delve into the mind of God. But God made ways for this earth to be able to sustain his creation. And, you know, we need to look at that from time to time. When the rain begins to fall down from the sky, we need to take the time to think about more than it ruining our outing, that it ruining our golf game or ruining our camping trip. You know, God is sending that rain down to water his earth. What would happen to us if he didn't do that? I mean, what would happen to us if God did not give forth that type of care? Or the snow. You know, we need to think about more than just this stuff's hard to drive in. We need to think that when God is doing these things and when we see these things, that God is making provision for those that dwell up on the earth. That, you know, there might be seed for the sower, that there might be bread for the eater. In Acts chapter 17, verse 25, in the Apostle Paul's sermon at Mars Hill, he said this about God. He said that God's not worshipped with men's hands as though he needs anything, seeing that he gives to all life and breath and all things. God's self-sufficient, isn't he? He is self-sufficient. And in Psalm 90 and 2, a psalm that has been attributed to Moses, it says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now, you know, my mind, and I realized this several years ago, and I mean, this shows us, I believe this is a great example of the vast difference between God and us. My mind is not even capable of understanding a being that has no beginning. I mean, you sit and think and you really try to grasp that and you can't do it. Our mind does not have the ability to do that because everything that we have ever known in life has a point of origin, and we just really, you know, we just don't have the mental ability to understand a being that has no beginning. God has always been. He is self-existent. Everything else, you know, all creation exists because of him. We exist because of him. And it's not possible for God to ever cease to exist. But I've always thought, in just thinking about things, I thought, well, you know, if God ever ceased to exist, we would too, wouldn't we? Because we live in him. It's in him that we live and that we move and that we have our being. But God can never cease to exist. He has always been, and he is, and he will always be. He inhabits eternity. He is self-existent, and he is self-sufficient. No, he's not worshipped with men's hands. God, did you know that if you and I were not even here, God would still be God? He would still be God. He doesn't need us to exist. We need him. We are in need of the things that God is able to give and the things that he is able to provide. But he is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needs anything. And I believe, and I've spoke to you about this before, I believe if you read the 50th Psalm, that you'll find out that even the farmer that boasts of the cattle that he owns, God in the 50th Psalm told us that the farmer don't really own them. They're his. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Everything, that he has created, everything belongs to him. He does give us the blessing of stewardship. He allows us to use the things that he has created throughout this life. But make no mistake, God is the owner of those things. And so, he's God. He's God. There's two disputable facts. Well, there's more than that. But there's two disputable facts that I've learned in my life. One is that there is a God, and the other is that I'm not him. God is God, and he's way above me, and he's way above you, and his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. We don't have the same train of thought that God has. He thinks way above us, and his ways are way above us. And God is, really, he's exalted above us. You know, truly, I'm sure that, Isaiah did the best he can, but the heavens being higher than the earth, God's ways being higher than our ways, that don't really tell the story, does it? I mean, there's just really no way to describe how much greater God is than man. But with all of these things in mind, all of these things that the Scriptures teach us about God, about the fact that he is a self-existent being, about the fact that he's a self-existent, self-sufficient being, about the fact that he doesn't really need us to provide for him, that he can take care of himself, with all of these things in mind, yet God cares for us. I was reading that Scripture one time in Isaiah about him sitting on the circle of the earth and the inhabitants being as grasshoppers, and I thought, well, I'm glad that God loves those little grasshoppers, because I believe it's talking about us. I believe that's the way that we appear before him. But God cares for his children. In the first chapter of Mark, in verses 40 and 41, God came to earth. He came to earth and lived here as a man. That's who Jesus was. He was God in the flesh, God incarnate. And God came here as a man, and he walked this earth as the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and 41, it says, there came a leper to him. That's speaking about Jesus. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Now, Jesus, being God in the flesh, the Bible tells us that this man came to him with this very, very serious condition, this very serious physical condition. And the Lord Jesus Christ was moved with compassion towards him, moved with compassion to the point that he healed him. I'm telling you, friends, the Lord cares about us. Sometimes people, they have pity parties, and they say, oh, I've got all these problems and nobody cares. Well, I'll tell you what, there's always somebody that cares. Always. God cares what happens to us. He cares what happens to his creation, and he certainly cares about what happens with his children. I'm telling you what, the things that we face in this life, we've got somebody that cares. We've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We've got a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you today, if you've been saved by God's grace, you've got a friend in him that will stick closer to you than anybody ever will. You've got a friend that is by far the very, very best friend that you could ever possibly have, and he cares for you. And listen, the great benefit to that is that not only that God cares for us, but God has the ability to take care of anything that we bring before Him. I was talking to my son on the phone this morning. I needed to ask him about something. And when I called him and I was talking to him, he was telling me that he had been in so much pain through the night and had not been able to sleep. And he was going to call somebody this morning to help because he didn't even feel like that he was going to be able to go and preach. And when I hung up the phone, my heart was moved with compassion. You know, that's my son, and it hurt me that he feels that bad. But you know, the truth is, there's not anything that I'm able to do to take his pain away. I don't have the ability to do it. I pray for him, try to, you know, console, but I just don't have the ability to take it away. But I'll tell you what, when I come to my Heavenly Father in pain, when I come to my Heavenly Father, if it's physical pain or if it's emotional pain or spiritual pain, whatever that it is, when I come to God and I cast my care upon Him, I'm praying to one that's able to take away anything that's afflicting me. He can take it away. You know what the Bible tells me? That Jesus can even take away your sins. Isn't that what John the Baptist said? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And listen, that's the most trouble that I've ever had in my life. And I found out that when I came to the Lord Jesus in that broken state, in that sinful state, in that state of condemnation, and I came to the place where through God's help that I cast that upon Him, I found out that the Lord was able to take that pain away and give me peace in my soul. You know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about sometimes in this life, sometimes people live to a very old age, and they come to the point where they die, and most of the people that really knew them and loved them in this world have already gone. You know, their family and their close friends have already gone. But I'm going to tell you, you know, for the child of God, if you ever even found yourself in a situation where you were facing the point of death and there was nobody left that even knew who you were, there would be somebody that would care. Because you know what the Bible says in the 116th Psalm, verse 15? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I'll tell you what, if you're a child of God, you're not going to die alone. It don't make any difference what the human situation is around you. You're not going to die alone. The Lord is going to be with you. I thank God for the great benefits of salvation. You know, I'm thankful that I'm going to heaven. I rejoice in that. I'm thankful, as Jesus taught us to be, I'm thankful that my name is written in heaven. But I'm thankful that as I go through this life, that I've got an advocate with the Father. You know, if I sin and I do something that I know God is displeased with, I can go to Him and I can cast that on Him and confess that before Him, and He can take it away. If I'm sick or if I'm in need of anything, I can go to God and I can give my problems over to Him. And He is able to heal us from anything that afflicts us. Today, we have a table before us. And the elements that we have under this cloth on this table that Fairview Memorial Church is going to partake of here in a little while symbolize and show us and remind us just how much that God cared for us. And if you're here today and you're lost, just how much God cares about your soul and what He did in order for you to have eternal salvation. I asked the Lord, "How much do you love me?" And He answered by stretching out His hands and being nailed to a cross and dying for my sins, giving His life as a ransom. Didn't owe it, wasn't obligated to us whatsoever, but willingly gave His life so that we could have life. Brother Fugate this morning was teaching in his Sunday school class and talking about the things that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered, and talking about His prayer there in Gethsemane when He came to the point where it was so hard for Him that He began to pray, "Oh God, my Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other possible way, let this cup pass from me." But there wasn't any other way. If we were going to be redeemed, if we were going to be saved, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ had to be shed. And He knew it. He knew it. And I'll tell you what, you think about the great impact and the great importance in that prayer of Jesus coming to the point where He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done." And He gave Himself over to the will of the Father, and He went to the cross, and He suffered death, even the death of the cross. He obeyed. The Hebrew writer said He obeyed. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so we come today to remember Him and to remember what He did for us at Calvary. I'm glad to know that I have a God that cares. He's been so real to me in my life. You know, there have been times in my life, and I know that you've experienced this too, and I have a I have a loving wife, and I thank God for her. But you know, there have been times in my life where I had something that the only one that I could talk to about it was the Lord. I couldn't, you know, nobody else could help me. There have been things in my ministry that the only one, I mean, where I had to have an answer, and the only one that I could really talk to about it was the Lord. The only one that could show me the way was Him. And I'm glad that when I go to Him and I unload, I mean, you go look at that word casting, and you know what it means? It means just what it says. It means the same thing as picking up a stone and throwing it, or taking a fishing pole and casting it. That's what it means, casting. It means taking your cares and casting them upon the Lord, throwing them upon Him, because that He cares for us. And I know that it might be hard. Listen, church, I know that it might be hard. I know that there are situations in our life that we face that may be very, very difficult for us. We may have things that happen to us that we think, "I'll never get through it." But I'm going to promise you this: if you will really, truly cast your cares upon the Lord. He's got grace that's sufficient for anything that you'll ever face in this life. If we'll trust in Him, He is able to sustain us through anything if we will truly cast our cares upon the Lord. So we're going to observe this ordinance. I would like to, as we get ready, the Lord Jesus Christ, lost friend, He died for your sins. He died for your sins. And as we get ready, I'd like for Brother Strode, if he would, to start a hymn. And Brother Strode, do you need someone else to lead the song? Okay. Ask Brother Strode to start a hymn. And while the table's being prepared, if you're here today and you're lost, as I said, seeking the Lord for the salvation of your soul is never out of order. And so let's stand and sing.